Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I don't think I've ever cleaned this in my house ever. It's the B Morning Coffee Club, 92.5 WBEE, TJ Hope and Billy.
Being served all these, like, I do love to follow cleaning. What's it called? Clean Talk or something like that?
Yeah, where they share cleaning hacks and...
I do love that because there's something satisfying about it. Like when somebody goes in and they're like, I mix this and this together. I did learn a trick to start washing my floors with the Dawn Power instead of like the Mr. Clean or whatever. I've been mopping my floors, but spraying it down with the Dawn Ultra Power spray stuff. And it works really good. Then I get served this one where they're mopping their walls. And I'm like, what? I have never.
Sweeping or mopping?
They're like, they got like a wet thing.
Like a Swiffer?
Like a Swiffer.
Okay.
They're done
Swiffering
that.
Their walls. And I'm like, first of all, I don't think I got the paint to be able to just Swiffer up my walls. And
I go after the cobwebs.
You know, yeah, sometimes you hit it with a
cobweb
vacuum
up in the corner, you go hit it. Yep.
I can hit it with a vacuum, but I've never like mopped my walls. And now I'm seeing one after the other to where I'm like, maybe I'm in the minority. Maybe a majority of people are mopping their walls.
Do they mop the ceilings too?
No.
Well, I mean, same logic.
No, when I moved into my condo, my walls were gray. And then I brushed up against it and I was like, oh, these walls are supposed to be a lighter gray than they currently are. Mm-hmm. So I went through and took a Swiffer and washed down every single wall. It felt like it was unending. I just took my little Swiffer.
I mean, I've washed them down and then repainted over.
Oh, no, I wasn't painting.
But I mean, I've never like, once I put my paint on it, I feel like this is my layer.
Right.
This is,
right.
I'm not dealing with someone else's funk. This is my layer of the wall. So I've never like, geez.
Well, I've got two problems with cleaning my walls. First of all, I think my ducts need to be cleaned, but because I'm in like a shared building, I don't know how to go about all that, but I think that's why my walls are extra dusty. Second problem is I play a game with my dog Duke where I chuck carrots and my walls are turning orange because the carrots keep hitting the wall.
Imagine the next people moving in. What is all this orange stuff? TJ, don't you let those people on the internet push you around. You stand up for yourself. It's the B Morning Coffee Club. I'm Billy. TJ, Hope is here with us.
I watch them and I'm like, am I supposed to be mopping my walls?
I think you're being bullied into doing more housework than you're willing to do.
And then, like, you're supposed to take out the tub of your wash machine and get all the grime from underneath the tub. So I went to Steve and I'm like, Steve, we got to take apart the wash machine. Look at all the grub on this video. He was like, I don't know what kind of washing machine that is, but we can't do that. Now, we will run like CRL through it. We run vinegar through it. We clean the tub. And I'm like, that's not enough. Something. Look at all this junk underneath. He's like, I don't know how to do that, but I'm not taking apart the washing machine.
Right. They make it look easy on the internet.
They do.
Look,
I was
you
like,
just pull this out.
Look, it comes right out. Yeah. And then you just wipe that up, stick it back in, and you're in business.
Yeah, I can't wash my washing machine because it's like in a shared communal thing, but that makes it even like feel more like it needs to be washed.
Right.
I'm like, I don't know what you people are washing in our shared washer.
We were looking up things, and this all stems back to the videos where it's like, you need to clean your walls once a week and, you know, your floors and stuff. So all the normal stuff, like your countertops in your kitchen, those are like common sense, duh, right?
Well, it depends on how messy.
At least once a week, wipe them down.
Messy your family is. I'm wiping those down 2-3 times a day.
But there was a couple things that popped up on the list of things that you should be cleaning weekly, if not daily.
Weekly, if not daily?
Under daily, it says garbage disposal.
What?
Garbage. Consider running a mixture of ice, lemons, and salt to freshen and clean. First of all, that sounds tasty. And to clean the disposal after
each
use.
Add a little vodka.
Add a little vodka down there. Everything's good. Weekly, you should do a deep clean on your microwave. Washing machine, clean the drum and dispenser to prevent odors and potential mold growth. Refrigerator, wipe down shelves and drawers and check for expired food.
Steve does that weekly and it makes me furious because he throws everything out and I'm like, where's the mustard? He was like, yeah, it was past the expiration. I'm like, it's mustard. It doesn't go bad.
Texters are checking in 252-9233. This one says the gunk in the washer is from fillers in your laundry detergent.
Really? How do I get it out of there?
The soap. Maybe you need a special soap to get rid of the soap.
The soap that's cleaning is making grub. Making it grubby. Doesn't make any sense to me.
I don't know. Maybe we need, there's another product we need. Maybe there's a third product we need to be buying.
Of course there is.
You got your soap and your conditioner, and now you need the gunk remover
stuff.
I feel so bad for my cat the last day or two. I'll tell you why. It's your Bee Morning Coffee Club, WBEE. I'm Billy, TJ Hope. We're out of cat treats. We call them cat snacks in our house. And it has become a ritual. Pretty much every time I walk into the kitchen, in the morning especially, the cat follows me in. She will very politely sit over in the corner and just stare, just waiting for the treat, for the breakfast snack.
Hello.
And we're out of them.
I'm here. It's time.
Yes, I forgot to get them yesterday. And every time I walk past her, she's like, meow.
Did you find yourself apologizing?
Yes.
I'm so sorry.
Yes.
But I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I didn't get to the store. I'm sorry.
Like That's exactly the conversation. You got my house bugged or something? That has been the last 2 days, and I felt really bad. Because usually grocery shopping over the weekend, just stock up on that stuff. I didn't get them. I didn't know we needed them. So here we are. Where's it? Wednesday.
Oh, you're playing around in your RV. Didn't have time to get the snacks.
The poor kitty's looking at me like I'm kicking her or something.
Oh, that's the worst.
Do you guys have rituals with your dogs? I know you're not cat people, but what about your dogs?
Well, when it's time for Duke's dinner, he's got to sit down. He stays in the other room, and then I put his food down. He can't come and get his food until I say okay.
My chocolate lab is motivated by food. Any food, all food, anything that resembles food. Like my Labrador loves food. And then I got my little cockapoo, my old man. So I fill both their bowls and hers is gone immediately. Like two bites and hers is gone. But my old man takes him a while. He takes a piece, walks into the living room, chews it up, comes back, gets a piece. So all she does is sit there and wait until he's done. And so I'll tell her, I'm like, he's not done. Nope, he's not done. Like, I'll sit and talk to her about it. And as soon as Max decides, all right, I'm full, and he goes up and sits on somewhere, I'm like, all right, go ahead. And you just hear.
There is a poll of dog owners, and almost half said that they have some kind of daily ritual around mealtime. And I don't know that this is a ritual, always putting food in the specific spot.
Yeah.
That just seems like a gimme.
I have my dog bowl spots for sure.
I thought that was just where you kept the dog bowl. Like, is it a ritual every time I put my dishes away?
Right.
Because I'm putting them in the spot where the forks go.
Does anyone ever change where they feed their dog?
That would seem like you'd confuse the poor little guy.
I know. Like, here, I'll just set it here. Okay, I'm in this room. Now I'll set it here.
Do you eat dinner at the same time your pets eat dinner?
No.
About 15% said they set their table. They get food down for the humans, and then they go and feed the dogs.
That's a good idea.
And then they sit down. So everybody's eating at the same time.
So there's not dogs sitting there staring at you while you're eating.
Oh, is that rude? Sorry. Theo Vaughn tickets up for grabs. We'll tell you how you can win those in just a couple of minutes. It's right around the corner. But right now, we got some country music news for you. Luke Combs, he's got two sons with his wife, Nicole Tex, who turns 3 in June. Bo turns 2 in August. And even though he's pretty new to the whole, you know, being a dad thing, he shared some solid parenting advice for first-time parents. He says, you need to be patient with your significant other. Have some grace. They're super stressed. You're super stressed. You've both never done this before. It's like, oh, wait, we have this new human we have to take care of. So be kind to each other. Parenting stuff is hard.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is wonderful advice and spot on. According to several sources, Zach Bryan recently re-upped his deal with Warner Records. And according to Variety, he has sold or is in the process of selling his publishing catalog. That basically means whoever owns that gets paid every time those songs get played, whether it's on Spotify or on the radio or you buy anything or it's in a movie. Those two deals combined totaled $350 million. That dude's not even 30 yet.
What? So why would someone sell their catalog? Just so they can get a lump sum now rather than have it trickle over time?
Cash in now. Yep. Okay.
But isn't that with Taylor Swift? Wasn't hers like sold without her knowing? So I like, at least it's good, like he's aware of it, but that's what happened.
That's what she claims.
Mm. Ah.
I don't know that I believe that whole story, mainly because her father was an investor in the company and he profited when they sold that catalog.
Yeah, Billy ain't buying it.
Like $10 million profit.
Mm-hmm.
So if her dad knew, there's no way she didn't know. No way. Which, by the way, Toby Keith, until the day he died, every time she made money, he made money because he was a co-founder of that record label.
What? The more you know.
Toby Keith,
that's
not
a
dummy.
That's how he afforded by that horse that ran right. in the Kentucky Derby.
That came in last place. Reba McEntire set to host the ACM Awards on Thursday. She's also celebrating her 50-year anniversary in country music.
She still looks great.
That does not seem possible.
I know. I sit and watch videos of her because I follow her a lot.
Yeah.
On the socials. And I'm like, man, she's still so feisty. That's the same. She hasn't slowed down a bit.
No, she was first discovered by a country star named Red Steigall way back when. He saw her perform the national anthem at a rodeo in 1974. And then he helped her get a record deal. In the 50-plus years since, Reba has won 16 ACM Awards, 15 American Music Awards, 9 People's Choice Awards, 6 CMAs, 3 Grammys. She's also been in movies, had a bunch of very successful TVs, and done a stint on Broadway. So,
you know,
Reba McEntire, not slowing down at all. By the way, right now I mentioned Theo Vaughn tickets. Be caller number 19-252-WBEE. A pair of tickets up for grabs to see comedian Theo Vaughn at Blue Cross Arena on July 10th. That is courtesy of AEG Live. Tickets are on sale right now at Ticketmaster.com. Get dialing and good luck, 252.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like it just gave us a feeling.
A 3-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.